Dark water shimmering in the moonlight. Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Titles, A Beautiful Place to Die, A Martha's Vineyard Mystery. Martin and Bradley exit a restaurant.
Great meal.
They walk down the ramp.
So how's sailing class going?
It's going really well, Dad.
Yeah, you really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I did it.
We see a man in a black sweatshirt, hood pulled up, eyeing them. He follows them down the street.
What jellyfish? You ever been stung by one of those?
Yeah, it's not a place.
We watch as the hooded man follows close behind. They get to their car and open the doors. Martin pauses and looks up. From behind we move closer and closer to him until he turns around searching.
What's wrong, Dad?
Oh, yeah, must be hearing things.
He gets in the car. The headlights shine at us while he pulls out and drives away. We move to the vehicle that was parked next to them to discover the hooded man watching them drive away. A pastel sky hangs over a man at beach casting his line into the water. Text Amuse Entertainment Production. He reels in his line. Text Jesse Metcalf. Sarah Lind. Jeff watches another man next to him cast his line.
A crowd in a man's fishing spot's usually frowned upon around here.
Public beach. Besides, looks like you're getting skunked anyway.
Nah. Got a 34-inch blue in the back of the truck. Besides, shouldn't you be out protecting the fine people of the vineyard from dangerous criminals?
Oh, that's why I'm here. Thought a caller was a 211 in progress. Some tourist stealing all the fish.
Jeff reels in his line. He picks up something and approaches him holding a small fish.
Why don't you try this one, Chief? Sandstriker 750. Just came out.
I'll stick with mine, thanks.
Suit yourself. Hate to see you go home empty-handed. Again?
Watch and learn, JW.
He pats his arm and walks away.
I'm on duty, but there's a fundraising gala up at the yacht club tonight. Might be worth cleaning up for.
You know that's not my cup of tea. Besides, college shirts make my neck itch.
He walks away.
Z will be there.
He stops, turns around and looks at him.
I'll catch you later, Chief.
Yeah.
He keeps walking while the chief fishes. At his house, Jeff gets into his car. A boat in the yard says butter clam on it. Text, produced by Charles Cooper. He drives away. Text, supervising producer, Alan Lewis. We watch him as he drives. Text, executive producers Jesse Metcalf, Michael Prupas. Executive producer, Joel S. Rice. Based on the Martha's Vineyard mystery series by Philip R. Craig. He drives down a road connecting small islands. Text, story by Craig Wayman, teleplay by Craig Wayman and Tina Booth. We float above a developed shoreline and see Jeff park at a marina. Text, directed by Mark Jean. He gets out of his car. A sign that says coffee tea pastries.
Enjoy.
A man hands a woman a drink over a counter.
Morning, Bob. That's a good word.
Coffee's hot, the weather's fine. You have a chance to check out that big sailboat at the end of the dock?
A Road 77, fully restored. Beautiful boat.
Right from the mainland on Thursday. Haven't met the owners yet somehow.
He sets down a package.
One bluefish fillet.
Very nice. Seems like a fair trade.
He hands him a drink.
How's your dad's boat coming along?
Slowly. Father like son, I guess.
Your dad never rushed a project.
Yeah, never seemed to finish one either.
Well, as John Foster Dulles once said, man's accomplishments in life are a cumulative effect of his attention to detail. Secretary of State, Eisenhower. Smart man.
Sure, Bob. Whatever you say.
Jeff walks away as Bob puts the fish in the fridge. Jeff sands a wood plank on a boat. A woman approaches him and waves.
Judy! What can I do for you today?
Well, is there any chance you can take a look at my outboard? It turns over, but it just keeps quitting.
Sure.
He grabs his toolbox and follows her down the dock.
So I called Ted over, and Ted helped me put this up here, but he couldn't get it running.
Well, let's take a look. You know, if the engine's turning over, you're probably getting a spark.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just not enough fuel.
Oh. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's really kind of you.
Just what I thought. Fuel filter's clogged.
He blows on the filter while a man gets off the restored boat next to them.
Beautiful boat. Restore it yourself?
No.
Who did the work? It's impressive.
Yeah, some guy in Boston.
Is that where you sailed her in from?
Yeah, Charlestown Marina.
Huh.
He looks down the dock.
Bradley, you made it.
Ah.
Great day for a sail?
Oh, definitely.
Good to see you.
You too, man. I told you this was beautiful.
It is that.
This must be your sister, Stacy.
How'd you guess?
Well, you guys want a drink? We got it all.
Come on in.
He walks up to the boat. Stacy turns to Bradley.
I still think this is weird. You've known this guy, what, 3 days?
Oh, come on, Stacy.
She throws up her hands.
Must be nice, sailing around on your rich daddy's dime.
Wouldn't know. Well, that should get you going. You should probably change this filter, and I checked the fuel tank. I think there's some dirt in there.
Okay.
He pulls the motor.
Oh, Jeff, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Well, thank you. Oh, you should probably get that checked out, huh?
Yeah. You have a good one, Judy.
Thank you.
She waves as he hobbles down the dock. Royal Fern Hospital. A sign reads new wing under construction.
Again, sorry for the mess. We're doing some last-minute touch-ups, but I wanted you to get a first look at the new wing, funded entirely by Harriet's Hope Foundation. Dr. Maideris.
Hi, Peyton. Welcome.
So, follow me, but please be careful with construction.
Dr. Maideris walks to an examination room and takes a clipboard off the wall that has a patient intake form for Jeff Jackson on it. She looks up, her eyes widen. She smirks and goes into the room.
Jeff Jackson.
Z. Maideris.
This is certainly a surprise.
So you're back from New York?
A few years ago. What about you? What are you doing on the island?
Moved here about a month ago. My dad's old place. Dr. Maideris.
Yeah, imagine that. What about you? I heard you were a detective with the Boston PD.
I was. Early retirement.
Why is that?
Missed fishing on the vineyard.
Oh, yeah? Is that how you hurt your back, fishing on the vineyard?
He looks down.
No. It just goes out sometimes.
Okay.
My doctor back in Boston would give me a cortisone shot when it acted up like this.
Since you're a new patient here, I can't give you a shot until I've taken an x-ray.
Is that really necessary?
Yes. Stand up. I'll take a look.
He stands, turns and lifts up his shirt to reveal a scar.
Oh. Recent surgery?
6 months ago.
And what'll I see on the x-ray here? Some pins holding your vertebrae together?
No. A bullet.
Her eyes widen and she lifts her eyebrows. We see x-rays of the bullet lodged in his spine.
I'm guessing this is the real reason for your early retirement. They tried to dig it out and then decided it was too close to your spinal cord?
You know your way around an x-ray.
I also worked for 7 months in New York City at the coroner's office,
so I've done enough autopsies to know what a bullet can do to a body.
He nods and frowns.
You know, if this decides to migrate closer to your spine, it could damage nerves, possibly leave you disabled.
So I've been told.
What were you doing exactly that aggravated it?
Just being neighborly.
You need to be careful with this.
Yeah, I know. So how about that cortisone shot?
Let's give it a few days, see how you're doing.
He juts out his chin, looks down and nods. She smiles.
Listen, I'll book you for a follow-up soon to make sure the inflammation doesn't get any worse.
You're the doctor.
I am the doctor, so no more friendly repairs. Doctor's orders. Hi, how'd it go?
They love it. Happy to see their donations put to good use.
Great. Jeff, this is Peyton Bartell. This is Jeff Jackson. She runs the foundation that funded the new wing.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
They shake.
You know we have our annual gala at the yacht club tonight.
Yeah, I heard.
You should come. Z, you'll be there, right?
I wouldn't miss it.
I appreciate the offer.
It's for a great cause.
I'm sure.
See you tonight.
Bye.
She walks away.
So that was a very polite note.
Nothing personal.
Well, it starts at 8:30 if you change your mind. It'd be nice to catch up.
They stop walking.
It's good to see you, Z.
He gets on the elevator.
Hey, Jeff.
He turns.
I was really sorry to hear about your dad.
Yeah. Thanks.
The door closes. Her frown morphs into a smile as she blushes. From behind a police car, we see the police station as C walks in. She walks past the front desk.
Hey, is my dad in?
She walks through the bustling station.
Hi, Lisa. Hi.
The chief sits typing with two fingers at a computer when C walks in.
Knock, knock.
Hey.
Brought you some strudel.
Mm.
Hey, you know, the county will pay for speech recognition software, so you don't have to torture yourself with that keyboard.
What are you talking about? I'm much faster than I used to be.
Oh, yeah, you're lightning fast.
Anyway, I'm not about to ask for special favors, at least not until they renew my contract.
Dad, the board's gonna re-elect you. Everyone loves you.
He peers at the screen.
Hey, I saw Jeff Jackson today, finally. He came into the clinic.
Is that so?
Yeah. Why didn't you tell me the real reason for his retirement?
Well, you doctors have your patient confidentiality. We cops have a code.
Well.
The chief raises his eyebrows.
So I take it I'm not going to see you at the gala tonight.
Oh, lots of paperwork.
All right. Plus, at the speed you type, we're going to need to put a cot in here. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have fun.
Thank you.
She leaves. We look through a window to see someone spooning some food from the stove onto a plate. We move to see it's Jeff. He goes to sit at the table. He drinks a beer. He sets a napkin on his lap. He stabs some food with his fork and raises it up. He stares at it.
What am I doing?
He shakes his head and looks down, then back up and bites his lip. He comes down the stairs in a jacket. He looks in the mirror and adjusts the open collar of his shirt. He undoes a button and furrows his brow and immediately buttons it again. He lifts his brow and leaves.
I'm sure the Percys know all about the Pendray, Britt.
I just want them to think of us the next time they plan one of these functions.
Z and Britt walk into an event space. They exchange a look and then smile.
But I don't understand why the IRS is asking at all.
Well, I'm going to meet with Peyton tomorrow, and I'll get to the bottom of it. I promise.
There's Percy.
Okay.
Helena.
Helena turns.
What a wonderful party you've put together. Britt, how lovely to see you. Dr. Medeiros. You know Gerald Martin? His firm handles the accounts for Harriet's Hope.
Doctor, you patched up my son a couple years ago.
I remember. You sent me a really lovely note.
Helena, I wanted to tell you that we're now doing events at the Pendray.
I'd
love to send
what
you...
What is she doing here? Jackie Shawl. That article about the foundation? She wrote that.
I'm wondering if I can ask you a few questions.
Well, if you'll excuse us, we need to go find my husband.
Of course.
They walk off as Britt smiles and nods at her.
That went well.
Her smile fades and Z pats her back. Z glances toward the door and sees Jeff enter. She glides off in that direction.
Jeff, this is the second time you surprised me today.
Lady said it was for a good cause. Not sure I looked the part, though.
Yeah, did you get dressed in the dark?
Not bad.
No, it's not that bad.
She adjusts his collar and they smile at each other.
Hello.
Britt approaches.
Jeff, this is my friend Britt Prajna. She runs the Pendray Hotel. This is Jeff Jackson.
Nice to meet you.
They shake.
And how do you two know each other?
Well, I met on our dads. They were, best friends.
Jeff used to spend his summers out here during high school. We used to hang out with some of the same people.
Well, hey, I'm gonna do a live stream. Let's all say hi.
How about I grab us some drinks? Ray, what are you doing here?
Come here, talk to your dad.
We told you it's not a good time.
Okay.
Jeff walks past them.
Who does this guy think he is?
I don't know. It's just a joke.
And why haven't I met him before?
Because we haven't seen each other since we were 18.
So?
It's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm serious. We were like oil and water. Maybe there was a kiss once.
Britt touches her shoulder and raises her brow.
Ms. Shawl, while we appreciate your interest in Harriet's Hope, we believe it's inappropriate for you to be here.
Sorry, I don't think I understand.
No, I believe you do. And we'd appreciate it if you would leave before we begin our program.
Z and Britt watch.
Are you kicking me out?
No, not at all, Jackie. We would love you to stay. Maybe some positive coverage for Harriet's Hope would be appreciated. stay and enjoy. I have something to share with you.
Z and Britt nod and lower their eyes.
That was weird.
Jeff waits at the bar and snacks.
Thanks.
The man on the restored boat.
Mr. Martin. Hi, I've been meaning to speak to you about something.
Oh, and you are?
Dad, Helena says they're going on stage now.
Wait, I really just...
I'll catch you later.
Buddy, we can see he's busy.
Yeah, I just need a second.
No, we need to talk.
No, we don't. I came here to talk to you.
Show up here uninvited.
Completely rude.
Get your hands off.
We do need to talk. We both know why you're here. Just step by the door, okay? Step by the door.
Kind of a weird vibe in here tonight.
The other man at the bar just stares at him as they watch Bradley escort the man out. Jeff follows them.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Hey, get your hands off.
You wanna touch me?
Get your hands off.
No, hey, touch me.
He breaks them up.
Take it outside.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Let's take it outside.
He shoves them out the door and Jeff watches them walk away. He turns around and sees all of the guests turn staring at him. He smiles at them, then his eyes dart left and right and he slinks away.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. I would like to welcome you to the 5th annual Harriet's Hope Gala. Thank you. I'm Peyton Bartell, Executive Director of Harriet's Hope, a foundation started by my father after the death of my mother, Harriet, to help families impacted by illness. And while we helped many people in those early days, our reach was short. Until two very special people joined our board of directors, Mr. Thomas Percy, our board president, and his wonderful wife, Helena, our fund development chair. So please give a warm welcome to Mr. Thomas Percy.
Mr. Percy takes the podium.
Peyton has... kindly given us the credit, but the credit really belongs to everyone here. It's because of your generosity that our success is even possible. So eat, drink, be merry.
And dance.
Yes, please dance. As long as you don't have two left feet like me.
We see Jeff next to Z.
You know, someone once said to me, to love and be loved is everything. So thank you, everyone, for showing us your love and allowing us to spread it far and wide. Enjoy the evening.
Helena kisses him.
Okay, guys, let's get this picture.
Britt takes a photo of Z and Jeff.
Get a selfie.
Britt and Z pose for a selfie.
Jeff, having a good time?
Sure. It's nice to get out.
Well... we're fine on the dance floor, and let's all go.
Thanks, but I'm not much of a dancer.
Did we just find the one thing Jeff Jackson isn't good at?
You know, it's just I don't think my doctor would approve. She's very strict.
Okay, so just those girls then?
Guess so.
She leads C off.
Have fun.
He watches them go. Z glances back to him before disappearing into the crowd. He turns back and takes a sip of his drink. Daytime, we float along the shore dotted with houses and docks. We stop on Jeff's boat in the dock. He's sleeping but twitching and sweating. A flash of two men, guns drawn, running through vinyl strip curtains into a dark building. One of them is Jeff, who nods to the other man and he nods back.
Kelly
is shot, then Jeff falls. Jeff jerks awake in bed. He covers his eyes with his hands, then feels how sweaty his forehead is. He sits on the edge of the bed. He leans his arm on the bedpost and sits, brow furrowed, eyes soft. Jeff walks down the dock towards Bob's coffee cabin, stretching his back.
What did you do? Working in your dad's boat all night?
Feels like it. As a local sage recently told me, a man's accomplishments in life are the cumulative effect of his attention to detail.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Thanks, Bob.
My pleasure.
He walks away with his coffee.
Morning.
He nods to people passing on the dock, then spots two people pointing in the water. He furrows his brow, then walks over to that spot. He looks around, then peers over the edge of the dock. On the rocks leading down to the water, he sees what looks like a purple jacket. He looks right, then left. He grabs a pole nearby and reaches it down to lift up the jacket. He pulls it in and replaces the pole. It is indeed a jacket with a blood stain near the collar.
Blood.
He looks up and furrows his brow. We see him amble along, scanning the dock and peering down at the water. He wanders over to the other side of the dock. He leans over the edge and looks down. From above, we move to see a body floating in the water face up. It's Ray from the restored boat. Jeff furrows his brow and swallows. From behind a police car, we watch as officers carry a gurney down the dock.
Okay, put him down here.
Jeff watches the officers work.
Will everyone move back, please? O'Connor, I'm gonna need some more help down here.
Jeff approaches Jenkins.
You know, you might want to reference a tides map of the Vineyard Sound from the NOAA. The current must have brought him in from somewhere nearby.
Yeah, good idea. Thanks.
Is Chief Medeiros coming down?
Oh, actually, there he is.
She points and he walks off.
Jeff, probably not how you wanted to start your day.
No, I'd rather be pulling bluefins out of the water right now.
Can you tell us where you found them?
Yeah, I found a jacket over down on the rocks by Bob's. Started to look around and found him stuck up against those pilings.
Any ID on him?
No, sir.
I'm pretty sure his name's Ray. He was staying on that road 77 down near the end of the dock.
You talked to him?
A bit. I also saw him last night.
Now, here she is.
Z walks up.
It's my acting ME.
Z is your acting ME? What are you, moonlighting?
I'm the only doctor on the island who has autopsy experience. But what about you? I thought you were retired.
He found the body.
She looks at the covered body on the gurney. She puts on her gloves and crouches next to it.
Okay, let's see here.
She pulls back the blanket.
He looks familiar.
Yeah, he was at the gala last night, arguing with those two other kids.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was Bradley and Stacy Martin.
This guy was arguing with Gerald Martin's kids?
Yeah.
I want to question him before they lawyer up.
You don't think it might have been a simple drowning? Had too much to drink at the party, went for a walk.
Long walk off a shore pier? I don't think so, Chief.
She feels the back of his head.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a laceration on the back of his head.
Maybe he smacked it on the dock on his way down. That way it could be the blow and not the water that killed him.
It's possible.
He's wearing a ring.
She looks at his hand.
It's a graduation ring.
She picks up his hand. The ring is gold with a blue stone.
Class of 85.
Jeff furrows his brow.
He had boat keys in his pocket.
I can show you the boat.
All right, let's go.
It's just over here.
We turn to see Ray's body one more time.
No obvious signs of foul play.
And if you'd gone over the side here, the turn would have taken him the other direction.
They walk up the stairs to the restored boat.
Came in alone. Big boat like this?
I didn't see anyone else with him. Except when he took the Martin kids out.
Anyone here? Martha's Vineyard Police! Open up!
He bangs on the roof of the cabin. Jeff looks in the window to see a class of 85 yearbook.
Hey, Chief! Take a look at this. Looks like a yearbook.
The chief looks in the window and spots the Vineyard Haven High yearbook.
I'll call a judge to get a search warrant. And I'll get Jenkins busy looking up that hull number.
Sounds like he got it handled. Good luck.
Hey, we're gonna need you to come down to the station this afternoon so we can get an official statement from you.
All right.
Judy pops out.
Hey, Jeff! Hi.
Jeff walks over to her.
What's going on? Everything okay over there?
Listen, do me a favor, Judy. You see anyone else taking interest in this boat? You give me a call.
She nods and points her book at him. He walks away as we see Judy peering out her window, mouth agape. We watch as Ray's body is loaded into an ambulance.
Sorry, just one second. Dr. Medeiros, where's May?
I'm acting ME this week.
I don't suppose you could at least tell me if the victim drowned or...
No comment for now.
Come on, Z, you gotta give me something.
The doors are closed, shutting Jackie out. At Jeff's house, he goes through his mail while he holds an apple in his mouth. We watch from inside as he walks through his covered porch. He puts the mail down, takes the apple out of his mouth and picks up a couple items. He pauses and looks to his right. He puts the items and apple down and walks to his desk. He sits and types on his computer.
Vineyard. Haven. High. Let's see, what do we got here?
Vineyard Haven 25-year high school reunion. Popular Vineyard Haven teacher retires. Vineyard Haven alum donate 50 new computers. Donation was spearheaded by Gerald Martin. Vineyard Haven class of 85.
There's a picture of Martin in the article. He prints out the article and reads. From behind a vehicle marked MVPD, we see a silver car pull into the driveway of a house. The chief is standing on the porch. Martin gets out of the car.
Chief!
Gerald.
What do I owe the pleasure?
Wanted to have a chat with Brad and Stacy if they're home.
I don't think so. They took a ferry to the mainland today to see a concert in Boston. I don't expect them till tomorrow.
Kids these days, huh?
Oh, I know.
He opens the door.
Yeah, come on in. Can I, ask what this is about?
A friend of theirs was found dead this morning.
Dead?
His eyes widen.
I'm real sorry to hear that.
He turns to him.
You know who it was?
We haven't positively identified him yet. That's why I need to talk to your kids. We know they went sailing with him yesterday, and they talked to him at the Harriet's Hope Gala last night.
You're not suggesting my kids had anything to do with his death?
I'm not suggesting anything. I just need to speak to them. How about I come by again tomorrow afternoon?
Sure, I'll tell them to expect you.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
They shake.
Right. Yeah, sure.
The chief smiles and walks out. Martin's eyes wander as he wrinkles his brow. The chief down the driveway to his car. He opens the driver door and glances up to the window above the garage. He pauses when he sees a figure moving past the window, then gets into the car. At the hospital, Z examines Ray's body on a table. His head is propped up to one side as she looks at the laceration. She adjusts the light to shine on it and looks through the magnifying glass.
What is that?
She moves his hair away to reveal a bloody wound. She takes tweezers and a magnifying glass and picks out something from the wound. She holds it up and looks at it.
Gotcha.
It's a small pointy object the shape of a teardrop. We fly over the docks on the shore. At the police station, Jeff is being questioned by Jenkins.
Okay, so you saw the body in the water, and then you called 911, and then what did you do?
I waited. Have you looked up the home number of that boat yet?
Yeah, but it isn't registered to anyone named Rick.
Jeff peeks through the window at the chief on the phone.
Oh, who's it registered to?
I don't think I'm allowed to tell you that.
I'm guessing this is the printout of the registration. And now I can see that the owner of the boat's name is Donovan Fletcher. I've heard that name before. Excuse me.
He leaves the room and takes out his phone. We see Z come into the station.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, hey, Z.
Is my dad in his office?
Uh-huh.
Dad, I found something you have to see.
She hands him a small bag with a pointy object in it.
It's a small splinter of glass that I found in the laceration wound in the victim's head.
The chief looks at her.
I don't know what this means.
Sounds like he was murdered.
She looks to Jeff, who has appeared in the doorway. The chief looks to the splinter and Z takes a deep breath.
So this Ray kid didn't drown. He was murdered. That's what your official report's going to say.
It's going to say that the cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head, likely from something made of glass or with a glass component.
And you're sure he didn't fall onto or through something made of glass?
No, the angle of impact makes that unlikely.
Then whoever killed him must have dumped his body in the ocean after the fact.
So you got a graduation ring. The Vineyard Haven yearbook on the boat, both from the class of 1985. I got curious. So I looked up the class of 85, and I found this online.
He hands the chief the article.
Gerald Martin was in the Vineyard Haven class of 1985.
He passes it to Z.
And last night when I was at the bar, Ray came up to introduce himself to Gerald Martin, and the Martin kids were right there doing their best to literally drag him away.
But wait, if they were trying to protect their father from Ray, why would they get on a sailboat?
Jeff shakes his head and raises his palm.
Sir, Detective Jeff, you thought I should run priors on the sailboat owner, Donovan Fletcher?
No, he did.
Jeff looks down.
What'd you find?
a lot of arrests, mainly in Boston. Grand larceny, fraud, extortion. Here, I've got his mugshot.
It's the man next to Jeff last night at the bar.
He was there last night, too. Right next to me at the bar.
The chief looks at the photo.
Run a search for his known associates.
Yes, sir.
She leaves the room.
So Ray's sailing around on a boat owned by this guy Fletcher. He's hunting down Gerald Martin, using his kids to get to him, and somehow he gets bashed in the head?
The chief folds his hands at his mouth.
You got your work cut out for you.
The chief looks at him.
Well, I'll let you get to it then.
He gets up.
Jeff, wait. This investigation looks like it's going to be a lot more complex than usual.
What do you mean, usual? We've had one homicide on the island in 12 years.
Right. We're not exactly swimming in experience here, and you've worked how many homicides?
Too many.
Yeah, we could really use your help. You could lend us your expertise, maybe help steer the case.
It's a really good idea.
No, it's not. Yeah, I'm retired.
Well, not by choice. You're still a detective. Otherwise, you never would have brought us this.
Okay, yeah. You know, my mind goes there, but I can't work this case. I'm not a cop anymore. And besides, I'm done with all that.
Oh, what, you don't care about catching the bad guy anymore? Really?
He shakes his head.
You don't even know what you're asking me.
He walks out. She sits back in her chair. Outside the station, the chief walks down to where Jeff is standing at a railing. Jeff notices him and lowers his head.
You think I don't know what I'm asking, but I do.
They look out at the water.
I know where you got that bullet you're carrying around.
Jeff adjusts his stance.
You know, your dad used to tell me that people rarely do what they're great at, what they love.
The chief eyes him.
They do what's easiest.
And spent the rest of their lives regretting it. Oh, I remember. You really gonna play the dad card?
There's a killer running around this island.
Then hire a real detective. I can give you a few names.
He lifts his brow and holds his gaze.
Thanks.
He hands him back the article.
You're right. I'm sorry I put you on the spot. This case is mine, not yours.
Chief, Gerald Martin is on hold for you. He wants to know if you want to come back out to the house and speak to his kids.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
He walks off, leaving Jeff alone on the dock. He unfolds the paper and looks at the article by Jackie Shaw with the headline, Vineyard Haven Alumni Donate 50 New Computers. He looks up and gradually opens his mouth and furrows his brow. We float over the marina filled with boats. A sign that reads Evan Isley Marina, welcome aboard. We move down to see Jeff walking down the dock. He spots Jackie Shaw sitting on a bench outside Harriet's Hope Foundation. He approaches her.
Jackie Shaw? Your office told me I could find you here. Something about a board meeting?
Yes, well, they barred me from sitting in. And you are?
Jeff Jackson.
They shake hands.
Doing some research for Chief Medeiros.
He sits.
I wanted to ask you about an article you wrote.
He shows her the article.
What can you tell me about Gerald Martin?
Well, it's interesting you ask. Why should I answer?
Found a body this morning at the pier.
You're the one who found the body.
And I recognized him as someone who was trying pretty hard to talk to Gerald Martin at the gala last night.
Gerald Martin, I see. Well, then we definitely should talk. But if you can just hold on 1 minute. Helena, I know you don't want to talk to me, but you and your husband cannot dodge my questions forever.
Jackie, this is not a good time for Helena right now. Her car was stolen at the gala last night. She's very upset.
Isn't that the least of her problems?
If you have questions, you're welcome to ask me.
Seems to me that you'd be more angry about the allegations by the IRS than anyone.
Well, if I thought they were true, I would be. But I don't believe it. How could I?
Peyton looks back at Helena standing near her car.
I'll tell you what, I will talk to Thomas and have him get back to you at the end of the afternoon, okay?
Jackie nods. Peyton walks away towards Helena. Jackie turns around, arms folded. Jeff watches her.
When you came by earlier, Chief, I had no idea that Brad and Stacy had ditched their trip to Boston.
It's true. We didn't tell him we changed our minds.
So why don't you tell me how you met Ray, if that's his name?
Well, that's the name he told us.
Did he give you a last name?
No.
They shake their heads.
Where'd you meet him?
At the bar in the yacht club on Tuesday. He came up to me. We started talking. He bought me a beer and said I had to go see his boat. And so we went down there. I saw the boat. It was pretty cool. And then he said to come back next time with my sister.
Why do you think he wanted you to bring your sister?
I don't know. She came up in the conversation, and I thought he was being polite, so I asked her.
She smiles.
I had nothing better to do, so I went too. Although, if I'd known it was going to be so weird, I would have just...
Weird? How?
He was just kind of nervous, like smiling too much or something. But I guess it was fine at first, you
but
know?
Then he starts talking about our dad, and he's asking all these nosy questions.
Super intrusive, and we were thinking this is not cool.
And we bring up the gala, and he's like, I want to go meet your dad.
And we told him no, because now we're thinking, okay, this guy really is weird. And then he shows up there anyway.
I thought I'd let a complete stalker to my dad, so we got him out of there as fast as we could.
So you got him to leave?
Yeah, we got him out of there, and we sort of stood guard outside for a little while, and he left. Yeah.
Did he tell you why he was so interested in meeting your father?
They look at each other.
Any idea why this kid was so determined to talk to you?
Well, people always want something from me. They want me to give them a job or invest in their company. Who knows?
The chief looks to the kids, who both force smiles, a sign that says Martha's Vineyard Promenade.
Okay. Thanks.
Jackie hangs up her phone and walks to Jeff on the boardwalk.
My friend at the Globe knows you. She says you're one of the good ones. So I tell you my story and you tell me about the body you found?
That's a deal.
She nods.
A month ago, I got an anonymous tip about Harriet's Hope. This person had been working there a long time and said that she believed someone was skimming money from the foundation. A lot of money. She said over $1 million had gone missing in the time that she was working there.
Oof.
I know. So, I began asking questions and, of course, got nothing but denial. So, and you can't tell anyone this, I took it to the IRS, and they actually started looking into it.
Did they find proof?
Well, the IRS can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
He lowers his head.
But it seems to me that to be able to skim money over the long term, you have to have access to their books. And guess who owns the accounting firm that keeps their books?
Gerald Morton.
She nods. Jeff looks off and shakes his head. At the hospital, assigned for pathology. Z holds up the purple jacket. She checks the pockets. She spots something, folds the jacket and puts it down. She moves a lighted magnifying glass over the pants and picks up a small piece of ripped paper from the pocket.
Paper?
She turns it around, examining it. Martin shows the chief out.
Well, best of luck finding out who that kid was.
I have one more question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
You ever hear of a guy by the name of Donovan Fletcher?
Martin closes his mouth.
No, can't say that I have.
The chief watches him.
Well, thanks for your time, Joe.
Sure.
We move into Martin's face as he furrows his brow, blinks and purses his lips as the chief leaves. At the hospital, Z pieces together the ripped bits of paper in a tray under a magnifying glass with tweezers.
A three.
We watch from above as she works. Jeff walks in.
Well, looking very doctor-y.
Thank you. Can you give me a sec?
Yeah.
Okay.
He shuts the door as she covers the tray.
Hey.
Hey.
I owe you an apology for pushing me so hard.
No, you don't. Don't ever apologize for doing everything you can to catch the bad guy.
So you do still care?
Of course I do. It was my whole life, for a long time.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just that you've been through a lot and...
Z, stop. I'm not a wounded bird. And this isn't gonna work if you're gonna treat me like one.
What's not gonna work?
I'm in. I'm gonna help you and your dad work the case.
She smiles.
Where do we start?
First thing tomorrow, we start where the victim was last seen alive. The yacht club.
Okay, I'll see you there.
She smiles at him and walks away. He watches her go, then touches his beard as he walks away. The same vision of the two men, guns drawn, in a dark building. Jeff waves at the man.
Kelly!
Kelly falls.
I got your money.
Jeff drags Kelly behind some barrels and lifts his gun. A gun appears aimed. Jeff bolts up in bed from the dream. He furrows his brow and shakes his head. He sits up and pinches the bridge of his nose. He walks down the stairs of his dark house. He walks to the kitchen, opens the fridge and stares inside. Daytime, we see officers unloading a police boat as the chief, Z and Jeff walk down the dock.
So Jenkins found a legitimate company owned by Fletcher, employing one Ray Norris.
Oh, so we finally have a last name.
Any idea what Ray did for him?
No, but maybe we'll find an answer on that boat. Judge signed a search warrant this morning.
So our working theory is that Fletcher had something on Gerald Martin.
And you're thinking that Fletcher was blackmailing him?
Well, he's been arrested for extortion before. I mean, it would explain why Martin might skim money from Harriet's Hope, if that's what he was doing. You know, let's say he was using the foundation as his personal ATM. He would have stopped the minute the IRS showed up. And if he missed some payment to Fletcher, someone like Ray would show up to lean on him.
But Martin fights back. He kills Ray, dumps him in the ocean.
So we might actually have the why.
If we can figure out what Fletcher had on him. Although I'm thinking it might have something to do with the class of 85. You know, I'd really like to take a look at the yearbook we saw on that boat.
I'll bring it back with me. Now, search warrant for the security footage at the yacht club.
We're on it.
Good.
They leave the station. We fly over the shore. Z and Jeff watch security footage on a monitor.
There. 9:20. That's when Bradley pushed Ray out the door.
Ray walks back in.
But he's going back in. Let's see when he comes back out.
Well, there's Stacy.
Jeff hits a button and we fast forward through Stacy and Bradley talking, then Bradley leaves.
Wait.
He pauses it.
Who's that?
Helena Percy.
She sits on the steps.
Is she crying?
Well, Peyton Bartell did say that her car was stolen that night. She just went out of frame. And she's back 7 minutes later.
Maybe she went to look for a car?
Yeah.
He fast forwards through the night.
A lot of people came out the front door that night. But there's no Ray.
I don't think Ray comes out this door at all.
She shakes her head.
Bradley and Stacy lied.
They look at each other, then the video. From behind the tarp, we watch Z and Jeff come out the back door.
Yep. Looks like someone disconnected the camera for construction.
If Ray didn't go out the front, he had to have come out the back.
And so could any number of other people.
We saw Bradley heading back here.
They look out at the construction.
You see what I see? Those glass blocks. Maybe...
the head wound and that splinter of glass.
One of these glass blocks could be the murder weapon.
That means...
that means this could be our crime scene.
They exchange a look.
I'll call my dad.
Jeff gets out his phone.
He's missing a tarp.
He snaps photos of one pile where some blocks fell to the ground.
Dad, you need to send a forensics team behind the yacht club.
We see a sandy path that leads from the club to the dock. Jeff surveys the ground.
Okay, my dad's got a team on their way. What is it?
Whoa.
He puts his hand up.
Drag marks through here.
She looks to where he points.
There's no blood trail. And don't scalp lacerations like the one you found on Ray bleed a lot?
Copiously.
Well, that could explain the missing tarp. You know, his killer could have wrapped him in it and dragged him to the parking lot, to a vehicle.
Right, because he's got to get to the ocean somehow.
You grew up here? If you had a body in your car and you needed to dump it fast.
She taps her phone on her leg. The dock near the fish market.
Seems like a pretty public place to dump a body.
No, it's really desolate at night. And this is the easiest place to get a body into deep water. The yacht club's like half a mile away, so this is the first place I thought of.
She watches him as he scans the area. He looks at the ground.
Looks like someone's driven up here recently. We might be able to pick up these tracks.
You know, the way the current flows, it would carry a body to where you found Ray.
We need to get a team down here for a search. See if anything's washed up on this beach.
Jeff answers his phone.
Hello?
Jeff? Oh, hi, it's Judy. Remember you asked me to call you if anybody got on that sailboat and the slip across from mine?
No, if you're talking about the police searching it, they have a warrant.
No, they came and went a while ago. No, I'm talking about a guy on the deck right now. I've never seen him before. He's very suspicious.
Be right there. We gotta go.
They rush off. Judy looks through binoculars. Through the binoculars, we see the man sitting on the deck who turns to look straight at us. We zoom over docks. Jeff and Z arrive at the sailboat.
There's nobody here.
Where's Judy?
Judy!
He searches for her while Z gets on the sailboat. Jeff looks in the window of her boat.
Judy!
Hey, Dad. Yeah, we're on the boat now. No, if someone was here, they aren't here anymore.
He opens the door.
Judy?
Jeff?
She pops out.
Did you see him?
See who?
I don't know.
The man jumps out and grabs Z. Jeff looks up to see her struggling.
Z! Call the police!
Z is struggling with the man as Jeff runs over to the sailboat.
Jeff!
He throws her to the ground. Jeff kicks the man in the chest and into the water.
You hurt?
I'm okay. I'm behind you!
Fletcher appears and swings a boat hook at Jeff, which narrowly misses. Jeff knees him in the stomach, pushes him to the ground, and leans on his chest.
I don't think so.
Oh, he's getting away!
Z points to the man who had grabbed her as he swims away between the boats. Jeff watches him go. At the police station.
As far as I know, it's not against the law for a man to take possession of his own boat.
There's no sign saying it was impounded or off limits.
Your bodyguard tries to toss my daughter overboard, and you swung a boat hook at him. Assault with a deadly weapon can get you put away for a good long while.
My client saw what he believed to be intruders on his property while searching for spare keys. He and his security personnel acted within their legal right to remove said intruders.
Security personnel?
Now let's talk about other personnel. Ray Norris worked for you.
Not as of a week ago, I fired him.
Do you typically dismiss employees with a glass block over the head?
I know what you mean. He was an unreliable deckhand. Neglected to obey orders in a timely manner.
His lawyer puts a hand on his arm.
So I told him to get lost. Which he did. In my boat.
You expect us to believe he stole your boat?
That's not what I expected, I assure you.
And why didn't you report it stolen?
I have a reputation, and I prefer...
You prefer to dish out retribution yourself.
I prefer not to involve the police in private matters.
And I'm guessing you consider your business with Gerald Martin a private matter.
He eyes his lawyer.
Who's Gerald Martin?
Jeff leans back a little and looks to the chief, who looks to Fletcher. Fletcher's lawyer furrows his brow. In her lab, Z looks through her magnifying glass into the tray. She pieces together the last bit of ripped paper to reveal a number 211593.
Yes.
She throws her fists in the air. She clasps her hands and looks in the tray. We fly over the marina.
Still no sign of Fletcher's bodyguard?
No, Fletcher keeps telling us he can't reach him, but we'll round him up soon if he's still on the island. And I'll hold Fletcher on that assault charge for now.
You believe what he said? Ray Norris stole his boat?
Well, if it's true, it just made this case a whole lot simpler. The kid makes off with the boat, Fletcher chases him down, and then lives up to his reputation by killing him.
Okay, if Ray did steal his boat, he'd know that Fletcher would come after him hard.
Yeah.
And what's the first rule of larceny? Don't get caught with the merchandise.
So you're saying what, Ray got himself a room while he was here?
Well, it'd be stupid to stay on that boat, wouldn't it?
People stroll along the boardwalk at the police station.
I'm bearing evidence.
Go ahead.
I found this in Ray Norris's pocket. The water was trying to turn it to pulp, but I was able to salvage some of the larger pieces and put it together.
211593.
It's not a complete number, but it's better than nothing. I've been trying to figure out what it is. I thought it was a phone number, but there's no 211 U.S. area code.
Maybe it's an international number.
You might want to try a bank routing number. I've been doing my dad's probate stuff, filling out a lot of financial documents. The routing number for his bank starts with 21137. Maybe there's another bank with a similar routing number.
Jeff goes to the chief's computer.
Help yourself here.
Okay, let's see here.
They huddle around the monitor. He types the number into a routing number search. He searches down a list of numbers.
Bingo.
So Ray was walking around with a bank account number in his pocket. Maybe it's Fletcher's.
Or Gerald Martin's. Ray had his high school class yearbook. Where is that, by the way?
That's right here.
Sir, I just spoke to a hotel manager who said that Ray Norris checked in 5 days ago.
What hotel?
The Pendrick.
Z's jaw drops and she looks at the chief. A Victorian hotel.
Anyone talk to him during his stay?
I haven't had the chance to ask around yet.
And what about housekeeping? Have they serviced the room at all this week?
Well, no, because this.
Britt shows them the do not disturb sign and then opens the door to his room.
Wow.
Ray definitely wasn't sleeping on that boat.
He puts on gloves.
Ugh. Or eating anything close to a healthy diet.
She holds up a package.
Remind me to never let you look in my fridge, Doctor.
Should I go talk to my staff, see if anyone remembers talking to this guy?
Good idea.
She leaves. They search the room. Jeff goes to the bathroom while she walks to the desk. She picks up a pamphlet which reveals a business card underneath. She holds it up.
Jeff?
He comes out of the bathroom.
Look at this.
We spy on them looking at the card from behind the door frame. They exchange a look.
Elena Percy.
Jeff turns to look at the door.
What?
He walks to the door and looks out. He looks up the staircase towards the creaking sound. He looks right and sees guests walking down the hall. He smirks and turns to look back at Z.
I really couldn't tell you how that young man got a hold of my business card.
You're saying you didn't get any calls from him?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You do know that his cell phone records will show if he called you.
What? I could check my voicemail and see if he left any messages.
It'd be great, Helena.
Only now is not the best time.
Oh. Her husband approaches.
What's going on, Helena?
It seems the young man that we read about in the newspaper, you know, the one that was killed the night of our gala.
Ray Norris was killed at your gala, behind the venue.
Well, it seems that he had my business card.
Oh, my wife's business cards are all over the island. She's in charge of fund development. We want donors to be able to find her.
I was just about to check my voicemail to see if he'd contacted me.
Peyton checks your messages every day. You'd have known if he'd called. Elena's only in the office twice a week.
Well, there you go. Is there anything else that I can help you with?
Yes, actually. Can you explain why you were crying outside the doors of the yacht club less than 5 minutes after you were smiling up on stage?
I thought it was because of your car, but you didn't report it stolen until after midnight.
Well, it's because of all of that. Dealing with the IRS. We'd just been on stage, bragging about our success, and in the meantime, we're dealing with them. Questions, suspicions, having to defend our integrity. Can you blame her for being a little emotional?
It's contemptible to be accused of something with no proof.
Helena, they're asking about the donations earmarked for the new hospital wing.
Okay.
If you'll excuse us, we have to resolve this matter.
Sure.
They turn back to the conference room. They watch them go suspiciously. Jeff turns to Z.
She's lying.
How can you be sure?
What Ray's cell phone records will tell us one way or the other.
Z gets a text.
That's my dad. He wants us to meet him at the South Pier.
Let's go.
All right, boys. Pull it out.
A tar blaze washed up on the shore. Police officers pull it out.
A tarp was missing from one of the glass block pallets behind the yacht club, and Jeff thought that it might have been used to wrap around Ray to transport the body.
Jeff unfolds the tarp. He uncovers a glass block. Z closes her eyes a moment and exhales.
Your murder weapon.
Z and the chief exchange a look, then look back at the block. We float above the vineyard shore. Jeff flips through the pages of the yearbook at the bar of Bob's Coffee Cabin.
So, you've been hanging at the police station, donating your detective skills to the chief.
You hear about everything, don't you, Bob?
You must have one of those faces. People just love to tell me things.
Yeah, well, my skills haven't been able to crack the case yet. And I was hoping I'd find some answers in here, but it's a lot of wishing someone named Donna a good summer.
I knew Donna in high school.
No, wait. Someone named Goose said he loved dancing with her at prom.
Jeff answers his phone.
Hey, Chief, what you got?
Forensics. They got traces of blood on that glass block from the tarp.
So no doubt it's a murder weapon.
Yeah, but no prints.
That's too bad. You know, if it was fresh water instead of salt water, we might have had a shot.
Yeah, they did manage to lift a couple of partials off one of those other blocks that fell off the pallet. I'm guessing they're going to be Fletcher's or maybe that so-called security personnel of his.
Not so sure that's your best bet.
The simplest story is always the best bet. Oh, and listen, the lab also sent us the model of tires that made those tracks down at the pier. If they match the tires on Fletcher's car, then I think we have our guy.
Would you mind texting me the model?
There's another angle I want to work on that.
You got it.
Thanks.
He walks back to the bar.
Hey, Bob.
If I was going to unload a stolen car, where would I go?
I do know a guy.
Jeff smirks. Men walk out of Guster's Salvage and Metalworks, and we move to see Jeff pull up the drive. He parks and looks into his rearview mirror. He sees a black car with tinted window slowly roll past. He gets out of his car and his gaze lingers where the car was as he closes the door. We see a gauge being cleaned off by a man in a jumpsuit as Jeff walks in the door.
You Gus? You got a sec?
$22,075,000 according to the average lifespan.
He finishes, then turns and removes his glasses.
Guess I could spare a few.
Great. Now, it looks like Vineyard Salvaging's really paying off.
Yeah, metal is worth its weight in gold these days. It's a good little side business.
I'm looking for some parts for my mother-in-law's car. She's got high-end taste with a low-end budget. You know what I mean.
What kind of parts are you looking for?
Something that would fit a BMW. 7 Series. You got anything like that?
Now, there's a coincidence. I had one of those come in yesterday.
Jeff furrows his brow.
It's not a coincidence.
Nope. You want to tell me where you got it?
I got a lot to do today.
Oh, that's fine. I get it. I can just call my cop buddy and have him come down here with a warrant.
Well, now, you don't need to do that.
Okay, then. You tell me where you got it, and we can forget we ever had this conversation. Deal?
He licks his lips.
Deal.
Yeah. After you.
Jeff follows him out.
Local guy brought it in. He found it out in the state forest. Thought it was abandoned. Fair salvage?
Jeff looks at him. He shrugs. Jeff turns to the car. The scene wobbles a little as we watch Jeff from behind a woodpile walk to the trunk. He opens it. He leans in and looks in the empty trunk. He nods and closes it. We again watch from behind the woodpile as he opens the driver's door. He gets in and opens the glove box. He looks through it, then sticks his hands under the dash and runs his hand over the center console. The bodyguard appears in the window approaching the car.
It's hotwired.
Jeff opens the door, which hits the bodyguard, who falls back and throws him against a scrap pile.
Why are you following me? You still holding a grudge about that swim?
No. I just wanted to ask you some questions. If you want the cops involved.
Duane.
A police car pulls up. The chief puts the handcuffed bodyguard into the back of his police car. We move to see Jeff biting his lip and furrowing his brow as the chief walks over.
Good thing you got a bead on him when you did.
Shadowed by better.
He was trying to stop you finding evidence that pointed to him and his boss from Helena Percy's stolen car.
You know, there's something else bothering me about that car right now. It wasn't hotwired. Whoever stole it had a key.
Oh, man.
Z and Jeff walk into Harriet's Hope Foundation. The front desk is empty.
Sounds like a party.
They walk up the stairs and see a gathering with balloons in a conference room. Peyton spots them. She walks over to them.
Z, hi.
Hi, Peyton. What's the occasion?
The IRS just informed us they've finished their investigation and found no wrongdoing with our books, which I always said they would.
Well, that's great, and we're about to make Helena's day even better. Jeff found her car.
Oh my goodness. I'll go get her.
Z smiles, and she and Jeff share a look.
Helena, Jeff
and Z. Helena looks over, and Z waves. Helena and her husband walk them down the stairs.
We are very happy to hear about the car, of course.
It was a minor headache compared to what we were dealing with here, though.
Well, you can pick it up tomorrow.
But unfortunately, we don't have any keys to give you. We assume you have a spare set?
More than one.
She's always misplacing her keys, so I made several sets for her. One for her desk, one for her purse, one for home, just in case.
So any number of people could have had access to those keys.
Yeah. Technically, yeah.
See you two on the boat.
All right, Goose. See you out there.
Cheers.
Martin walks through with a glass of champagne. Jeff turns to look at him.
Did
Did you just call him Goose?
Nickname from high school.
Everyone thinks it's from Top Gun, but it was from before that, wasn't it, Tom, because of his laugh?
Right, our Goose is the original. I should pay him a licensing fee.
Funny. But we'll let you get back to your party. Let's go, Z.
Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers.
They leave and Helena and her husband go back upstairs. Jeff and Z enter the police station and head to Jenkins' office.
Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
Did you find it?
Pulled it up and printed it out right after you called. Birth certificate for Raymond Joseph Norris.
Jeff holds it up as they examine it.
Donna Marie Norris, mother, father.
Unknown. Okay, so if Gerald Martin was the Goose who took Donna to prom.
Ray wanted to meet Gerald Martin because he believed Martin was his father.
Yeah.
Jeff, I got some news for you. We got a match on the prints we got off that glass block from the yacht club. It's not Donovan Fletcher.
Gerald Martin?
No, it's another Martin.
Bradley?
No, it's his sister, Stacy.
Jeff raises his eyebrows.
Stacy Martin's print was on one of the glass blocks? Why would her prints even be in the system?
A little shoplifting incident a few years ago. But now, we've got her at the scene of the crime, handling a block identical to the murder weapon.
If we're right about Ray's mom, we have a motive.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to explain that one to me.
Well, I didn't put it together at first either. But in high school, the Donna who owned this yearbook was named Donna Lawson. And she has a note in here from someone named Goose.
That's Gerald Martin's nickname.
And here they are together.
Back up a little bit. Ray Norris was born in, what, 96?
March 1996 in Concord, New Hampshire.
I know that Martin married Bradley and Stacy's mom long before 96. The math just doesn't add up.
Well, when I looked up the class of 85, I saw an article about a class reunion. This class's 10-year reunion would have been in 95. I'm thinking Martin and Donna reconnected at the reunion. She got pregnant, but he was married.
And that's why she put Father Unknown on the birth certificate.
But she still has his class ring. And at some point, she gives it to Ray. Tells him the truth.
So he came here to meet his father. Except his other kids did not like that at all.
Well, let's go talk to them.
He holds up his keys. Martin waters his lawn when the chief and Jeff walk up.
Chief, what can I do for you?
We need to speak with Stacy. Bradley, too.
Oh, they're not here. I'm not sure where they went.
Well, you either need to round them up and bring them down to the station with your attorney, or I'll have to put out an APB on them.
This is about our murder victim, Ray Norris. The one I saw you shaking hands with at the gala.
Okay, and?
Ray Norris is the son of Donna Norris, formerly Donna Lawson. Name ring a bell? Goose.
His eyes dart to Jeff.
I went to prom with Donna, and that was her son?
We were wondering if it might also have been your son.
He laughs. The chief and Jeff do not.
You're serious? I don't think that's possible. I mean, the last time I saw Donna was 89, 90, 91.
You don't seem too sure.
Just find your kids, call your lawyer, and meet us at the station. All right?
They walk away, leaving Martin alone. We see Martin take out his phone in the background. Jeff answers his phone.
Z? What's up?
I came to the Duke for an early lunch, and guess who's here? Bradley and Stacy Martin.
Jeff licks his lips and rushes off. Z stands at the front desk of the restaurant. Jeff walks in.
Hey.
Hey, I'm so sorry. Stacy left, and I just didn't feel like I could tackle her on her way out the door.
Where's he at?
Over there.
Well, let's see what old Brad has to say.
They start walking to his table. They stop when they see a woman walk up to him with an envelope. They both watch mouths agape as Bradley opens the envelope and takes out cash.
Not good.
He moves to leave, but Z intercepts him.
Bradley, wait. We want to help you.
Look, if you think I'm going to tell you where Stacy is, you can forget it. You want to protect her. I respect that. Whatever, man. Look, I think you should know what we know. At least then you can make an informed decision about what to do.
Okay, what do you know?
Why don't you sit down?
They sit down at the bar.
We know Ray believed he was your father's son. He thought you were his brother and Stacy his sister. That's why he took you on that boat ride.
It was so ridiculous. He brought us out into the middle of the ocean. He starts telling us this crazy story about how my dad got together with his mom at the high school reunion.
Did you believe him?
Well, we didn't want to, but then he shows us this yearbook and a ring he says that my dad gave his mom, and he had a bank account number. Okay, he calls this his real proof. He said that most of his life, his mom got monthly payments from our father. When his mother died, he found that account number.
And he wanted more money from your dad.
I shouldn't be telling you this.
Ray went to the gala to confront your dad. You and Stacy tried to stop him, but you couldn't get him to leave.
No, yes, we did. We did make him leave.
Bradley, there are security cameras outside the yacht club.
We know he went out with you, but then he went back in. And we know Stacy followed him back in and went out the back door. We know this because we found her prints on one of the glass blocks behind the club.
That is because he pushed her into them.
So you found them together behind the club?
Did you feel like you had to protect her?
I have to go.
He runs out. Z looks to Jeff.
Was he about to confess? What do?
We follow him.
They get up from the table and follow Bradley out. Bradley leaves through a back door and walks.
I have to go.
He runs out. Z looks to Jeff.
Was he about to confess? What do?
We follow him.
They get up from the table and follow Bradley out. Bradley leaves through a back door and walks down the street. Jeff and Z exit and head after him. Bradley walks down the boardwalk. He walks across a parking lot. Z and Jeff run to hide behind a car as they watch him walk to the dock. Bradley strides down the dock, walking between storage garages, Jeff and Z following close behind. They hide behind a storage box and watch. A door opens and Stacy comes out. She gives him keys.
Okay, thanks.
Those are boat keys. They must have a boat in that garage. Stay here.
Jeff walks down the dock towards them. Bradley turns to look at Jeff. He runs.
No, don't run!
Bradley!
He didn't do anything!
Jeff chases after Bradley down the dock. He turns a corner and comes to a dead end.
Hey!
Bradley turns.
That's not the way out of this, kid.
Bradley grimaces and puts his hands on his head. He drops his hands and Jeff walks towards him.
First of all, running down my clients like that? Not the way to win their cooperation.
This is all ridiculous anyways. Ray Norris is not my son. I mean, he told my kids that I supposedly got together with his mother at our 10-year reunion. Well, I didn't even go to my high school reunion. I was working in London. You can check with my boss. It's not true.
Doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Of course it matters.
I think it kind of matters.
No, what matters is that these two thought it was true.
Martin eyes them.
You believed him, didn't you? You believed he was going to force his way into your family. You believed he was going to demand your father's time, his money. Things you two were used to getting all to yourselves.
It's not true.
No, do not answer that. Not that it matters. Motive without evidence is useless in a court of law.
We have Stacy's prints on a glass block.
Not the actual murder weapon.
But that puts her at the scene, the time the murder took place.
And then what?
At 9:53, Bradley Martin was seen on security footage from the yacht club entering the front door, and then an eyewitness said that he then went straight to the coat room.
Where Helena Percy stated that she left her coat with the car keys in the pocket.
How would I know that? I went in there.
Wait. First you say Stacy's prints prove she was there. Then Brad going into a coat closet means...
A jury would probably think it means he helped her get rid of the body. Maybe even more than that.
They shake their heads and roll their eyes.
Or maybe he was just defending his sister during an altercation with Ray. Is that possible?
And if that's the truth of it, then you could claim self-defense. But if you want that to fly, you've got to tell us what happened.
Speculation is not evidence. You don't have enough to arrest these two, let alone convict them. I think we're done here. Let's go.
She closes her folder. Bradley gets up to leave.
We didn't kill him.
Jeff looks up at her.
He was alive the last time we saw him.
Okay, Stacy, let's go.
Martin ushers her up and out. Jeff contemplates this with a furrowed brow. The chief closes his folder and clasps his hands on it. A lighthouse stands on a small peninsula. Jeff uses a stick to sift through the shoreline.
My dad said your interview with Brad and Stacy didn't go so great.
Lawyers are always good at minimizing, but she wasn't wrong.
And we still got a lot of dots to connect. I was thinking maybe these kids wrapped something else in that tarp. Or something that could have washed up somewhere here on the stretch.
Yeah, maybe they slipped their IDs in there. Or like a phone and left the crime recorded on it.
I was thinking a note that said, "We did it."
Yeah.
Of course, it would have to be in tiny little pieces so you could have fun putting it back together.
I don't want to laugh. It might give you the idea that I like your sense of humor.
Oh, I wouldn't dare think that. Not after what you said to me that night after Wazzy's party out there on that pier. Told me I was sophomoric. I had to go home and look up what that meant.
She smiles.
You have all the things to remember. You had to remember that.
I can remember other things, too.
They look at each other longingly.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
Yeah, it was.
He answers his phone.
Jackie. Yeah.
Z looks at him, then lowers her eyes.
I can do that, yeah. I'll see you then.
Jackie Shaw?
She wants to meet in the morning.
Okay, well, I've got to go check in on a patient, so good luck with your needle in a haystack operation.
He smiles and she leaves. Near the fish market, Jeff walks down the boardwalk with Jackie.
I'm not saying the IRS didn't do their due diligence, but I was certain that the tip I got about money skimming and Harriet's Hope was legit.
How so?
I think Gerald Martin or someone cooked their books and covered their tracks.
Or your source was wrong.
Could be, but I believed it for a reason. I think the tip came from Peyton Bartell.
The executive director? What makes you think it was her?
The attention to detail? I think she tried to get to the bottom of it herself, and when she couldn't, she did a little whistleblowing.
On her own organization.
Well, her father started it, and she had to hand it over to the Percys. And the Percys are the ones who got the big donations. The office, the boat they took other donors out on. And Thomas handed the financial reins over to his buddy, Gerald Martin.
Still, it seems like Peyton would be shooting herself in the foot to bring attention to the problem.
Not if she got her foundation back. I know the Percys seem nice, but I also think that you know better than anybody that people are not always what they seem.
He furrows his brow and nods.
Did O'Connor finish going through Ray's cell phone records? Did he make any calls to Helena Percy? No? We found a business card in his hotel room. You know, maybe he called from his room. Could you check on that and get back to me?
He gets in his car. At the Pendray, Z walks into the lobby and up to Britt at the front desk.
Yes. Local Dr. Z. Medeiros, daughter of Martha's Vineyard Chief of Police, enjoys an afternoon at the luxurious Pendry Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you post that?
Okay, if word gets out that a murder investigation came through here, I wanted folks checking us out to see that important people still flock here.
Come on. First of all, this is weeks old. And secondly, nobody says I'm important. And third, you should have asked.
Okay, you're right. You're right, I should have. But if the number of social media likes count, you are important.
No!
Yes, okay, look.
She comes around to the front of the desk.
Look how many likes on this picture of us at the gala.
Well, yeah, we look fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, did you see this one? You and the handsome detective?
Wait a second. That looks like Ray Norris.
She zooms in.
Yeah, it is. That's our victim.
Yeah, I remember seeing him at the gala. He was talking to Helena Percy right after she came off the stage.
What?
What?
I'm so sorry. I have to go.
She rushes out. Britt blinks and watches her go.
So look, this is right after the speeches, and there's Ray.
And Britt posted this?
Mm-hmm.
What's that hashtag she's using?
Harriet's Hope Gala.
We'll see if there's any other photos using that same hashtag.
Yes! Bingo.
She scrolls through a bunch of photos. She turns her phone sideways and keeps swiping.
Look who Ray's walking towards when he comes back in. That's Thomas Percy. And Britt told me she saw him talking to Helena.
Keep going.
She continues swiping.
Wayne. Right there. Yeah. Play that video.
Be merry.
And dance.
Yes. Please dance. As long as you don't have two left feet like me. You know, someone once said to me, to love and be loved is everything. So thank you, everyone, for showing us your love and allowing us to spread it far and
wide. What are you doing?
Come on.
He walks to the kitchen table and picks up the yearbook.
You know how in yearbooks they have everyone pick a quote and print it onto their photo? Look at Donna Lawson's.
To love and be loved is everything.
Thomas Percy used Donna's favorite quote in his speech. That's what turned Ray around. I mean, he was probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking right now. That Thomas, not Gerald, was his father.
So he's the one who reconnected with Donna at the 10-year reunion for some one-night fling.
Oh, he was quoting her about love. He was sending money even after the kid was grown. I'd say it was more than one night, which makes it even more difficult to hide.
You mean from Helena?
He called her. Ray, that is. 3 hours before he showed up at the gala from his hotel room. She said he didn't, but the Pendray has a PBX phone system that tracks calls. Helena lied.
And Ray was talking to her.
Right before he got killed.
Come on. He closes the book, grabs his jacket, and they leave. Jeff and Z walk into the empty Harriet's Hope Foundation lobby.
Where is everybody? Hello?
They look around and walk up the stairs. Peyton walks down the hall carrying a box when Jeff and Z walk in.
Oh, you scared me. You're back.
We're here to talk to Helena Percy, or Thomas, if either of them are available.
No, I'm sorry. They gave the staff the day off. I'm just here putting some files back in storage. Is there something I can help you with?
Actually, there is. My dad hasn't made any arrests in the murder of Ray Norris.
Oh. I thought your dad had someone in custody, someone named Fletcher?
Well, we haven't ruled him out. But we've come across some photos of the victim attempting to talk to Thomas the night of the gala.
Talk to Thomas? Why would he do that?
It's a good question. You have any guesses?
He also called Helena just before the gala. Did she happen to mention that to you?
No. No, I don't think so.
Well, Percy told us that you pick up Helena's messages sometimes. Did you pick up her messages the day of the gala?
I may have.
Jeff narrows his eyes. Z shifts hers.
There was someone who called, wanting to know if he needed a ticket to get into the gala.
Was it Ray Norris?
I really don't remember.
And did you pass that message on to Helena?
She adjusts her hair.
Or did you delete it?
What?
Peyton.
He steps closer to her.
You know exactly who Ray Norris is, don't you?
I don't know what you mean.
And you know that Thomas was having an affair with Ray's mother. And that he was supporting a child.
She stares at him, glances down, then looks towards the door.
You know what? I think I hear someone right now. Maybe it's them. I'll go check.
She walks out. Z slowly moves to Jeff.
Why are you talking to her like that?
Because she's in it up to her neck.
He walks after her. Z wrinkles her nose and opens her mouth. Jeff comes down the stairs followed by Z.
Her office is down this way.
Peyton walks down the hall.
Peyton, wait!
She stops.
You just need to answer a few questions.
She grabs Z and pulls out a gun.
Whoa. Stop right there, or I'll shoot her, I swear.
Peyton.
You should have just let me walk out. Peyton, you don't need to do this.
Z, look at me. It's gonna be okay.
She nods.
She doesn't want to hurt you, do you, Peyton?
I never wanted to hurt anyone.
I know. You were just trying to protect the foundation that bears your mother's name.
Get back. Get back to the conference room.
And that's why you made a pact with Thomas Percy, isn't it? He raised money for you, and you turned a blind eye while he, what? Set up a phony vendor number so he could send money to Ray's mother?
Get back!
But you had it under control. You and Percy figured out a way to cover your tracks. It was all gonna blow over. Until Ray showed up at that gala. Ray Norris, who was there to demand his father pony up more money.
I'm sorry, this is a private party.
Oh, really? My name's Ray Norris. That man, Tom Percy, my biological father, he's slighted me of a lot of money.
Maybe he told you what he wanted.
A very long amount of time.
Maybe you convinced him you wanted to help.
Thomas is...
Told him if he stayed out back, you'd send Percy out to meet him.
And that's when Stacy Martin found them.
You are embarrassing yourself.
They argued, and then her brother showed up.
Stacy!
And tried to make Ray leave.
Hey, no, hey, forget it. Fine, let's go.
This isn't over, Ray.
And that's when you confronted him.
Peyton comes out of the back door.
Mr. Norris. I spoke to Mr. Percy. He has no clue what you're talking about.
What if I told you I had proof?
Look, we know he had an account number in his pocket.
02113598 70. Is that account number ringing any bells to you?
It was a Harriet's Hope account number, wasn't it? It was a number that would have destroyed everything that you and your family worked so hard to build. What choice did you have? But to kill him.
She picks up a glass block and raises it up behind him.
Stop!
She shoots a light bulb, sparks fly, and Jeff ducks. In Jeff's flashback, his partner is shot. He stares at his dead partner.
Jeff!
He looks up as Peyton drags Z away.
Jeff! Help!
Flashes of his partner and him getting shot.
Z!
He gets up and runs after her. He runs out the door and spots them running down the dock. He runs after them. Peyton pushes her onto a boat.
Get on board. Move it.
Hey, just don't shoot.
Sit down. And don't move.
She aims the gun at her and untethers the boat as Jeff jumps down to the dock.
Get up the stairs. Now!
Z walks up.
Peyton!
Take it easy.
Peyton!
Peyton!
Peyton drives the boat away from the dock. Jeff sprints down the dock and jumps onto the boat. Peyton turns when she hears a thump. Z opens her mouth.
Jeff, watch out!
Z pushes the gun away as the shot misses Jeff. They struggle over the gun. Jeff runs up the stairs and grabs Peyton's arms. He takes the gun, throws her on the seat, and aims the gun at her.
You okay?
Are you alright?
Yeah.
She walks to him and he puts his arm around her as he keeps the gun aimed. Peyton lowers her head as Z catches her breath. We look out at the water from the sandy shore under a pastel sky. Jeff and the chief lean on a railing looking at the water drinking beers.
Any news on the board re-electing you?
None yet. But if they do, it'll be thanks to you.
Well, if you're passing around credit.
Z walks up.
You should probably pass some to your daughter.
Oh, he always makes me feel appreciated. You ready?
She holds up a syringe.
Just so you know, this house calls a one-time deal.
He lifts up his shirt.
Cortisone is not the best solution to your problem.
You have a better solution you want to offer?
How about not trying to make a long jump record onto a boat? Even if it was pretty dazzling.
You know, you're allowed to tell me you were impressed.
Oh.
Oh.
She administers the shot.
Is he gonna tell me how this bullet got there?
She studies him.
Maybe.
He turns to her.
Someday.
Hands her a fishing rod. And
yes. You do have to catch your own dinner.
I'm from the vineyard. I'll catch mine and I'll catch yours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Something else, you know that? Let's see what you got.
They walk to the beach.
How do you think it's gonna go? How are you gonna do?
I think you're gonna get skunked.
Do you think you're gonna catch something?
I mean, are you kidding me? It's all the wrist. It's, I mean, look at these
What style?
Sidearm, one-handed.